Hello, everybody. We are back for another AppleBiz Unleashed for July. I am Thomas Dumble, also known as Anonymous. I am here with the gang once again, and it's so good you guys come back, you talented, smart people.
Did you get another crew?
Yeah, wait a minute.
So we got Mike Malarchy over there. Mike, how you doing?
Good. How are you guys?
Pretty good. The dog day of summer is upon us in the northern hemisphere. It's getting warm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my air conditioner broke yesterday. It was great.
Ooh, not good timing.
Little trivia. Dog days. What are the days of dog days? What are the dates? Anybody know?
I have no clue.
The 18th of July through the 23rd of August.
Oh, well, I learned something new today.
Why, though?
But because
it must be the hottest part of the summer.
Because the Echo said it was. I asked last night. That's why I know that.
Now I want to look it up. Like, why dogs? Why not llama days of summer?
Well,
I don't know.
Maybe in your part of the world, maybe it is llama days.
Thank you for that. That was educational. I did want to know that. And we are in the dog days of summer, folks.
Yeah. Yep.
And welcome, Randy.
You're
by the way.
Well, thank you. Nice to be here, everybody. Hi.
Well, guys, as always, we got a few things to talk about in this Unleashed. And before we do that, we have a happy birthday I wanted to wish out for AppleBiz. This is our 8th birthday for AppleBiz this month. So it's hard to believe it's been around for 8 years. And I was thinking to myself this week, I was trying to figure out when I joined AppleBiz, and I was going to ask you guys the same. And so I had to look, and it says I joined 7 years ago in 1 month. So it was June.
Wow.
So I don't know. When did you guys find out about AppleBiz, and do you remember?
I don't remember. I don't even remember joining AppleBiz. I just, want to know why I joined. You know when a really great site starts or a podcast starts that you really want to be listening to it or downloading it or being involved with it, and you think, oh, I just wish I could be... I wish I could know some of the guys there, and pretty soon there we are. We're involved with it. For some reason, the people that are involved in stuff just kind of worm their way in a little bit. But I think I've known about you guys for probably about the same length of time, and as I was doing some posts and like downloading apps, I'd run into Thomas and a few people, and here I am. That's kind of my story. I just sort of eased into everything. We had Tom and a bunch of the guys from AppleBiz over on our other podcast, Accessible Devices, when it was going, and that was a lot of fun. So ever since that, we sort of, became friends. Well, kind of. That's my story.
I found out about it probably fairly early on because I started doing podcasting in like 2011. Actually, I started on YouTube and then switched to podcasting like 2012, I think it was. And I think around then was when I really started searching and probably came across it then, maybe the next year, and submitted a couple early on. But I've been aware of it for a long time. I don't know. I'm curious to look at my account and actually see when I signed up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, me too.
But I've been kind of lurking in the shadows for a long time.
Well, I was all trying to figure out what phone I had, and I remember having a 3GS. So I was the early adopters to 3GS, and then I think I quickly went to 4 right after I joined AppleBiz. I was on iOS 3 because the reason I thought came up that because it's also the 10th birthday of the Apple App Store this month. This is the month that when they dropped the iPhone 3G. And at then, it was using iOS 2. And I don't remember using iOS 2. I specifically remember iOS 3. That's just for fun and games and for myself, just trying to remember what phone I had and what version. Did you guys get onto the 3GS?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm.
I think the 4 was my first one.
Mine.
So you were on the 4. Okay.
Mine was 3GS, and I think I got mine in I did the most successful podcast that I've done to date, or at least that I know of, was the Accessible Devices one, 7 and 8, when we discussed the iPhone. We had a whole crew on, and we were talking about the 3GS, and that was back in early October, I believe, and I got mine about mid-October, and I was on Oh my gosh. I was on the same version that you were, and I can remember sitting there when the next update came, and I was just about ready to hit the update button, and I was just like shaking. I thought, oh God, what's going to happen to my phone? Do you guys remember doing that?
I don't. I don't think I was as nervous as you were. I always thought maybe a new version meant new things. At that time, I was kind of naive, didn't think things would break, you know, like, honestly, I'd be straight with you. I'd be like, oh, update, let's try that. And then, of course, over time, yep. I figured out that was a bad thing to do.
But I've always been that way. Like, as soon as it comes out, I'm like, ooh, gimme.
Oh, look at that. I wonder what's in here.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've always been like that. But no, I didn't have that scare. But I did have that fear once. I've done that a few times. I always went to AppleViz, check to say, anything broken? Anything broken? And just trying to figure out what's going on. But I didn't want to be left out with a smartphone that can't use. So,
now, which version was it that we updated to, and it like 60 million people had issues with it? Do you remember which version that was?
I don't. I know exactly what you mean. A lot of people got their phone bricked and all sorts of different things. It was bad.
Including me.
I think things have gotten a little bit better since then, which is a good thing. I haven't seen as many problems, but we still suffer some issues year to year every time we get a new iOS. Mm-hmm. But speaking of iOS, yep, we got another update as usual. We got iOS 11.4.1 that came out. Now, there were no noticeable voiceover accessibility improvements or bugs or fix that we found. But I was thinking about you, Randy, and I remember you, I think Mike also, you guys in 11.4, you both were, we were talking about how you were losing a lot of battery and I wasn't listening to you.
Well, of course not.
Did this one, have you guys updated to 11.4.1?
It's better. What about you, Mike?
No, the pop-up came and I said, do it later, hoping it would do it when I fell asleep, and never did. So I forgot about it.
You forgot about it. But it installed, and so hopefully the battery improvements helped for both of you, which was the biggest problem you guys had, if I recall.
Yeah, it wasn't bad, but now it's better. But to me, it's kind of worse because I've been doing some really heavy teaching again. And so it's kind of, it's better, but my phone runs out quicker, but it is better. But paradoxically, it's not as good because I'm on it more. If that makes sense to you guys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's hard to manage the battery when you're using it constantly.
That's right.
If they could fix that,
what are
great.
You saying to me, Mike? That I'm.
That's a good point, Mike. I like your assessment. That does make logical sense, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Well, you know, it didn't really come with much. I mean, it did come with bugs improvements for Find My EarPod and some HomePod improvements, but nothing really other than the USB accessory restriction, which I don't know if you guys have been following this USB restriction stuff. This has just been going around, and you're going to notice this a lot more when iOS 12 comes out. I guess apparently, as everybody knows, the law enforcement have this thing called the gray box or the gray keys, which allows them to attach to your lightning port, and that allows them to break into your phone without coming across your passcode, or that makes no difference how long your password is, nothing. They're able to break it within I don't know how much amount of time. But anyway, 11.4.1 came out with a restriction where if your phone has been locked over an hour, then the USB port automatically turns itself off. So the lightning port turns itself off, and you have to physically unlock your device to be able to hook up any accessory to it other than your charge cord, of course. But I'm talking about like to your computer.
Gotcha.
Or any other device.
Any kind of data transfer.
Mm-hmm. And then you're going to notice in iOS 12, they even further restrict that because a lot of people were saying the police were still able to get to your phone as long as they got it within the first hour. They were able to put this special device right into your lightning port in the first hour, and they were able to go ahead and crack into it as long as it got to your phone within the hour. Now, with the new iOS 12, when it comes out this fall, they won't be able to do that at all. You will have to. So, and the reason I'm making this aware to you guys, so when iOS 12 comes out, you will have to physically unlock your phone before you can use any USB accessory, except for the charge, of course. So if you want to use, hook it up to your computer or whatever, have not, your phone has to be unlocked.
Interesting. No one,
Good. Mm-hmm. So, I never even hooked mine up. Like if I do, it's just to charge it. And as soon as I get that, do you want to trust this computer? I always say no. I never do that stuff. So.
Ah, okay. Well, it's interesting because I, you know, at first I was like, well, that's not going to really hinder anybody. But then I thought about it. I said, well, if it wants you to, because it kind of pop up and say, oh, we're sorry, but you have to unlock your device before you can use this plug. So I thought, oh, okay, that's definitely something our users should know about when they first see that. So that is a new feature and why that is there.
Interesting stuff. Yeah, I do too. So how many times has the police got into your phone now, Tom? That's what I want to know, since you brought this up.
Absolutely none. I try to avoid them if I can. If I see them, I run.
Yeah. Yeah.
Walter White over here.
Seriously, it's a good idea. It's kind of good. I'm not even going to go into the logistics of it, because there's so much stuff going on now.
It's mixed.
Yeah, it is. Yep.
Well, one of the realities is that if law enforcement has it, at some point, regular people are going to have it.
Well, I have always said this to everybody. I've always been a proponent. I love our law enforcement. Don't get me wrong. I want them to be able to get into things when they need to. I always say, if you have a warrant, you're by all means get into it. If you don't have a warrant, then I'm one of those that no, you can't just get into my phone.
That's how it's supposed to work.
And so this will make it harder for the law enforcement. So they're not going to be able to just access your phone willy-nilly anymore like they have been. Mm-hmm. So now it's going to force them. But I have heard that, you know, they have been sending people to court to say, unlock your device or go to jail. And I think that's exactly what they need to do. So I back that up. So some people will disagree with that and some people will disagree, but that's just how life is. But I've always believed in warrants, so I have no problem.
It's kind of like the breathalyzer. If you don't take it, you go to jail. And if you don't unlock your phone, you can take it to court.
Mm-hmm. Apple, they need a feature where you can set up like a second passcode that if you type that one in, it just wipes everything. That's what they should do to fix the problem. Because then even if they bring you back, here, unlock the phone, like, okay, sure. Type in your other code. Like, oh, whoops. Don't know what happened. Oops. Here you go.
Now you have a devious mind. The dark side comes out of Mike.
What are you hiding there, Mike?
I mean, you could always.
My phone is so boring. I'm just, you know, but still.
Go to find my iPhone and wipe it. You could do it that way.
It's hard to do that from jail, though, I think. Well,
that's true. You can always call your girlfriend and say,
is it?
Why my phone? Speculation.
Okay, all right.
I can't speak
okay.
experience. Speculate. Okay. Imagine.
Okay. And while we're speculating on this, you know, finally, I knew this was coming. I just didn't know when. We all knew it was coming, but we finally got our updates to our MacBook Pros. The 13 and 15-inch models finally got the updates where they have everything you would expect. The True Tones on there. We got the new Intel 8th generation chips on that, along with the ability to go up to 32 gig. And now it's got 4 terabyte of SSD. I was like, oh, wow. Woo. I can't imagine the cost of that baby. Mm-mm. Can you imagine getting an i9 with a 32 gig with 4 terabyte SSD? Well,
the starting price was what, $2,300, somewhere in that range? Like the 13 inch, I think, was 17, a little over.
Yeah, 17, 15, I think it was 17 for the 13 inch. Yeah.
Yeah. Hot. That's a pretty penny.
That's a pretty penny. It's a luxury computer, folks.
Oh, yeah.
It is. And, and you would think, you would think there'd be some quality to this thing. I had to bring this up because, you know, the first thing that people saw was that they were throttling the speed of the i9 chips, making it so bad, so slow that it was worse than the i7 dual core. I was like, ooh.
Well, a lot of PCs are being throttled as well. You know, so if you get on a machine, it seems slower. The ones that aren't so much are like the big gaming, well, not big, but the gaming computers. But, you know, the chips in Windows are being throttled as well. So there's some sluggishness going on in the background of those, too. on the lower budget models.
Well, yeah, you know, that's what exactly I was going to bring up too, is that, you know, it's funny that Apple got really dumped. I mean, they got dumped on this one big times. And thankfully, Apple did come out with a patch that fixed this problem, that so it's no longer, they call it a bug. So if it was a bug, I don't know if it truly was a bug or if it was a feature where the, you know, they didn't want the heat to be achieved X number of temperature. And maybe they just thought to prevent from burning your computer or lowering the life value of your computer. They had a threshold. I don't know. But, you know, it's not Apple that only has this problem, like you were saying. It's just that drives me bananas when they all just go dog piling the Apple on this. And it's like, and but you know what? Rightfully so, you guys, you know, they had the right to say it, and I'm glad they did because it was fixed. But now they got this kernel hiccup, which I never heard of, this kernel thing, which I guess every so often your computer just decides to turn off. So it's like, oh my God.
That's always fun.
Is that Mac, just Mac stuff, or is that all PCs just shut themselves off?
No, this kernel thing, my understanding is just some Mac that I'm aware of.
Wow.
Now, the throttling, I have heard from other computers as well. I mean,
yeah.
When you deal with a brand new chip that haven't had time to mature, it's going to be hot. I mean, it just runs hot. So I get that, and I get the why they would throttle it because it got too hot. But this kernel thing sounds like some sort of a bug. But the other bit of news that, you know, there's been a lot of rumbling in the visually impaired communities too, is that this finally dumps the keys for the function row. So we now have those touch bar areas.
Mm-hmm.
And I've heard mixed things about it. You know, I somebody left a great article on Apple Viz. Oliver Kenneth, he wrote a fantastic piece about his observation of the new MacBook Pro in terms of speed. But he makes some good points, and that it's hard to use a flash service. I understand that. And he found himself in a pickle sometime because he hit the mute button by accident. But I have not personally played with it, but I thought that's supposed to be voiceover accessible. It's supposed to tell you that's a mute button, but I could be wrong. I thought you had to double tap that. But I thought that was some of the complaints where you had to double tap that, those areas which people didn't like about. But I understand the flat surface not having a physical key.
Yeah, I don't like it.
You played with them?
No, just the idea.
Just the idea?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so I guess some people were really getting turned off by that flat surface, and they were hoping that they'd be able to stick with the key, physical key, but that is not going to be an option anymore.
Yeah, when I first learned about it, I looked into it, and I'm like, oh, that sounds dumb. I don't want that. I want a button. Yeah.
Have you heard anything?
No, a lot of mixed reviews. Some people say, oh, I can get along with it just fine. But what would happen if somebody would hook up a different keyboard?
Hmm. Well, I mean, that defeats the purpose of a laptop. But yeah, if you...
Well, I know it kind of does, but I've got two laptops here, and I've got external keyboards for them. So I don't know what to tell you.
You know what? You're not alone. I do too. And the only reason I do that is because my laptop it's got that short keyboard, so it doesn't have the long keyboard where it has the numpad.
Yeah, that's same. Well, mine have numpads on them, but I just don't like typing on a keyboard that is built into the system. And I know you can shut off the touch pads. I know that, but I just sometimes just don't and forget. And so I would rather have an external keyboard. I just would. That's just me. But
well, yeah, I mean, I definitely bought the external keyboard so I can have the numpad and the arrow keys.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, other than the numpad and navigational arrows being easier to use and get to, this is non-Mac talking, but as a trainer, when I teach people using the Zoom Text Fusion, you really got to have that wide keyboard because that's a lot of your keys are used on those. And so you got the short keyboard in your jaws and it's going to be a real big mess.
I just can't imagine being an editor and try to edit on a laptop without an external keyboard. I mean, yeah, it can be done, but I don't want to do it. I'd like to see what my edits sound like, especially with this podcast, if I used an internal keyboard.
Well, you know,
it's hard to change once you have your system down, your method.
Yep.
It's hard to adjust it like that.
Well, let me ask you this, Mike. Do you use that area quite a bit for yourself on an everyday use?
No.
That's the thing, is that I've heard mixed things about that, because some people use that all the time. Okay, so for audio and stuff like that, I get that. For people that are daily user like myself and stuff, I hardly touch the upper row when I'm on my Mac, and I can get both sides, but nonetheless, it's going to be an obstacle. If I came across it, I would figure it'd be hard to get used to that. To me,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. But the only bad thing, I was really surprised that they didn't do anything with the iPad Pro Air, and that I don't know if they're just going to discontinue that, because you know, as other people's mentioned, that it's still the same price for an old computer, and that's a good point. That's a big chunk of change for something that's old, and you wouldn't want to pay that kind of money for an iPad Pro or an Air.
Question: doesn't that to you guys highlight kind of the issue with their naming conventions here? It's so easy to get them all mixed up.
Oh yeah, oh for sure. Yep,
it's true. I it should be the MacBook Air, not the iMac Pro. It's confusing. All right, so all that stuff drives me crazy. Okay. So yes, so the MacBook Air is, I guess it's going to decease, or I would figure we would have seen an update for it if it was going to be around. Who knows? Along with the minis.
Oh, right. Yep.
I mean, my God, have we heard anything about the minis for years? No, we have not.
Yeah, I was going to ask if those are still a thing.
Supposedly still a thing. It's still affordable. It's cheap. If you want a cheap Mac, it's not a bad deal.
Yeah.
So if you've been wanting to try a Mac, the Mac Mini is still out there as an option, but keep in mind that it's still outdated.
Yeah, buyer beware. Yep.
Exactly. Now, there's other really interesting things that have come across. I was thinking, you guys, especially Randy, because I know, Randy, you still a ham radio user guy?
Oh, well.
You used to be.
What can I say? I've kept up with the license, but.
Haven't used it?
No, I mean, I know I'm going to just anger a lot of hams out there, but it's like, what difference does it make? I anger a lot of people out there anyway, so why should I stop now? Yeah. I love the idea of ham radio still, but you know, when I can talk, pick up something and hold it in the back of my hand, you know, in my hand, and speak into it or text into it and talk to anybody anywhere in the world, I just don't do it. I haven't done it. Well, I haven't done it now for probably 15, 16 years.
You'll change your mind when there's a national disaster of some sort.
Oh, I'm sure I will. But at least I have kept my license current.
Now, part of that license, don't you have to learn to do
not
more
anymore?
Stuff? Not anymore. Oh, well, that bummer. Well, I was going to say there's a new option for you Morse code lovers that you can start using Morse code as a keyboard on your iPhone.
I've heard that, but I'm trying to figure out how it would work. I used to love Morse code. And I used to, when I used to teach it, I used to say things, you know, like, I'm just about ready to head out without pants. And, you know, they would either say, huh, or what, or what are you talking about? And I would know that it'd be listening. And I'd say, I'm going to be making strawberry pizzas and just ridiculous things, though. They would either think I would need more medication or
just need better practice.
Yeah. So I would just do that just to see if people were really paying attention. Yeah, now they don't require it.
Okay. Well, I guess Google decided that some people still have some use for it, and they made a mention of this for the accessibility back in their keynotes, that for some people that have any kind of mobility issue, they were able to use this Morse code easier for them. So they imported that across to iOS, so you can now download it. It's free. It's called Gboard. That's G for Google and board, B-O-A-R-D, Gboard. I don't know why they could call it Gboard, but that's kind of a weird name, but that gives you the system-wide keyboard access you need. And in the show note, I left a link where you can read about this being able to use your phone as a Morse code to dictate messages and things like that. But it also has a link in that article to a page where you can learn how to do Morse code by your computer.
Can you imagine that? For real? Really? I mean,
it is for real. It is a real thing. Because
I was, when I looked at the notes, I thought, I wonder, remember back in the days, you guys, about like 3 years ago or four maybe or longer, when they were having some Google April Fool's thing about Morse code and something. I forgot what it was all about, but this is really real, huh?
This is really real. I even looked at it. You can download it. And there's a video on it. And yeah, for sure. And now this is a kicker. I thought you probably get a kick out of this. It says you can learn Morse code in an less, just a little over an hour.
Sure you can. I don't know who they're aiming that at, but
there's no way unless you got some sort of a brain that's just like a sponge, you can absorb that. But not this brain. This brain would not be able to do that.
Yeah, that link has an interesting story about a lady, cerebral palsy, I think is what she had.
Yes, yes.
Who uses Morse code to communicate. So, like, the idea was with her and people like her in mind, where kind of like the Braille keyboard for us, they've implemented this for people who have mobility issues who can't type normally. And I was like, when I first saw it, I'm like, who is going to do that? Honestly, and I just read the articles, like, oh. Okay, that makes sense. Like, I feel like there's probably not a huge market of people that are super interested in this other than, like, ultra nerds and people that actually need it.
But exactly. I feel like
people that actually need it, this is going to be extremely valuable.
I can relate to that. I was one time in a hospital. I mean, I wasn't in there, but I was visiting someone. And I heard a doctor talking about there was a stroke victim and she just couldn't convey – it was a he, actually. Just couldn't convey – language because of aphasia or whatever. And I don't know, one thing led to another, found out he was a ham. And so I said, I'm a ham operator. Maybe I could help him. And so I tapped on his hand, you know, like, hi. And so he started to cry because I knew, you know, there was a attempt to communicate. And I tapped out, what do you want? And he just vocalized water. He couldn't speak very well, but so then they brought him his water, and that's when they began to start communicating. They started doing Morse code with the individual.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
It is. And, you know, like Mike was saying, this is not just for the ultra nerd, just because I want to let you know that you
right.
Do
Morse
code,
yeah.
But
yep.
I have a client that she is in the same way. She suffers some nerve damage to her hands. Mm-hmm. Can't physically use a keyboard easily. It's very difficult for her to use a keyboard. And if she can use it, it's only short term that she can use it because before it start to hurt and cramp out on her. So I was thinking about her about this, how much easier it would be just to tap the phone and you just type things out rather than trying to get your fingers in order. And so there are a number of ways how this can be useful, you know? Well, it's also that time of the year, guys. Our next month, we're definitely going to be talking about the Apple third quarter fiscal report that's going to be coming out on July 31st. You know, it's funny about this time around because the first two fiscal report we talked about, the first quarter and the second quarter, the media had a heyday dogpiling. Once again, they were dogpiling Apple how they were didn't make their numbers and all this before they even came out, and they're speculating that they were going to be bombing. And this time around, isn't that way? Isn't that funny how they all kind of say, no, Apple is probably going to meet their estimate expectation and all that stuff. So I just thought it was kind of funny how the media likes to play
games.
We
talked about
us.
That. I remember a couple of months ago.
Mm-hmm. And I don't understand that whole concept of like, let's predict what we think is going to happen and then we'll all be angry when they don't do it.
Yeah, I never understand speculators. Speculators ruins everything. But supposedly, and I think it will be right on par, I think they'll have a better profit quarter than the past. I think it'll be up. But the real number to watch for and to look for is the iPhone numbers. I think it's still going to be flat, as in it's going to be probably on par where it was last year, if not just a little bit more. But I bet their services will be a little higher. But they're still predicting around $50 billion. That's those guys.
Wow. So that's it.
But, so that is something to watch for, and we'll be talking about next month.
You know, I never thought I'd say this, but I've noticed a lot of increase in Android usage with the blind and low vision community, like especially like with the S9s and phones that are like the Pixels and things like that. A lot of people are seeming like, at least that I know anyway, that are adopting Android. So they kind of want to know, move. Not really move, but they want to explore various operating systems. So I'm kind of wondering if there's a little bit of leaning more toward that. I just wonder if that's going to jade them a little bit.
You know, I don't know, but I can say that I was just reading an article the other day where the U.S. consumption of the iOS is up. So it's starting to slowly chip away at the Android rather than the opposite, as you were stating. Mm-hmm. Now, for the visually impaired community, you know, it's a natural tendency for all of us to get bored or something and move to something else. Like, you know, we deal with our cable services. If you're tired of Spectrum, go to AT&T. If you don't like that, go to Dish. If you don't like that, go to DirecTV, et cetera. And so it's a natural tendency to, for us to try different mm-hmm. things. So it doesn't surprise me if more visually impaired people try out the Android. I can say the TalkBack has improved dramatically over the years. So kudos for them, and I think it's awesome.
Well, the reason that I mentioned them is because of Samsung, you know, with a built-in assistant and of course, Bixby and things like that. I don't want to turn this into a big debate, but I'm just saying that it seems like it's becoming a little easier. Mike, you were going to say something? Pardon me, I interrupted you there.
No, you're good. We just got a... It's one of the tablets, a Galaxy tablet, like whatever the most recent one is. My mother-in-law bought it and didn't like it or didn't need it, whatever. Gave it to us. And I'm like, ooh, yay, a new toy. And because I switched to Android in 2014. Yeah, when the Moto X came out.
Okay.
And lasted about a month.
Really?
And well, I got this tablet again. And I was just like, I played with it for like 2 days. I'm like, ugh. Just, I don't even know.
Does that have assistant on it and some of the other things? I mean,
I think so. Honestly, like I don't know. Like the whole system is just different. It is usable. Don't get me wrong. You can definitely use it. I think going from iOS to Android is way harder than if you just start off in Android. Mm-hmm. But there's just so many little things that I'm like, really, this is a problem? That's dumb. That shouldn't be a problem. Why is this button not labeled? This is weird. Like that's still a big thing that I've discovered, and just downloading apps from the store, trying them out. Like, oh, that's not labeled. Like even Twitter, Facebook, like big apps that everybody uses, stuff that works great on iOS, unlabeled on Android. I'm like, why is this? This is so strange.
I have never tried it. I have not tried it, and I know that Randy has experience with his tablet.
Yeah, I've got a Fire tablet actually that I got about a month ago. I like it a lot.
And so you had good success with it.
I don't know about you.
Well, you only have to talk to me once a month. That's all right.
No, I think it's interesting to hear different sides. Like Mike had not very good experience, but you had a good experience. And I wonder if that's because of the OS that you're using or different ways to use
it. I think so. I think it's the operating system. I really wanted to get a hold of one of my friends that I do another podcast with. He's using the A-Lady to communicate. Not that we can't communicate in any other way, but I hooked it up to Wi-Fi, and the Fire tablet has built-in A-Lady. I don't want to trigger anybody's devices, so you all know who I mean. Mm-hmm. And I was able to voice message him through the A-Lady on my tablet just walking around the lab that I work in. And I think that's just cool.
So you didn't have to push a button or
no.
anything? So you were able to change the default and said, this is the A-Lady is what I want every time I speak to it. That's pretty cool.
I do wish that I could steal the gestures.
Well, that's why I'm telling you about the Fire Tablet. Not that I'm trying to sell you guys out here or anything. All of the implementation, the Fire Tablets, it's just like using iOS. However, you can build the built-in navigation for granularity and some of these other things are you can't use the rotor, but you can use the Android versions for that. But for the most part, they're all built into the Fire.
Yeah, those gestures are nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, that's the cool part. And, you know, to get back to your question about, you know, if more people go into Android, I think you're getting a mix. I think I'm seeing a lot more people like you guys will either get an Android tablet or an iPad with an Android phone or whatever have not. It seems like they use both some form or fashion. That's what I'm starting to see, but that's, you know, everybody sees differently, mm-hmm. but hey, it's an option, and if it works out, as we mentioned here before, we absolutely love the Amazon Echo along with other devices, and it's just starting to be like that, and I think it's great. More options we have.
I love options.
And you know, another thing that's been, speaking of turmoil to the visually impaired community.
Oh, yeah, I know where this is going, I'll bet.
Can we talk about Twitterific and oh, my blob.
My blog.
Oh, okay. So those that are not following Twitter or not using Twitter or are using Twitter and maybe not aware of this, but all you fine, lovely people out there using Twitterific, tweet bots, tweet lists, whatever is your go-to iOS Twitter app, and soon to hit your Mac and PC the same way it has hit me, by mid-August, lots of things are going to change. So Twitterific was the first one to go down the chute where letting their customer know that their subscription base for push notification is no longer going to be provided. And as of mid-August, all push notifications that we have always come to rely on, it will now be a minute delayed. And then I guess apparently that along with that, the live updates, the real-time update for the tweets are now going to be delayed 2 minutes now. So this sounds absolutely familiar to what we had back several years ago, about 2-3 years ago now.
I remember sitting in this very, very same chair and watching the development of, it was probably longer than that, but the Cube. And we would mm-hmm. tweet back and forth. And all of a sudden, we all know who he is. I'm not going to mention any names, but went to real-time Twitter. And I went, you know, OMG, this is just tremendous. I said, wow, how cool is this? Thank you. And he said, welcome to the 21st century or something like that. So I remember when it changed and I was so happy. And now back we go again to the other, you know, the way it used to be.
Yep, the way it used to be. And that's the same for the Mac and the so Twitterific for the Mac will be hit as long as other non Apple items like what is it, OpenTween, TW Blues, all the other ones are broken. But it's just sad that we had to come back to this because now basically what this does is it's gonna force us to use the Twitter app. I mean I'll be honest, I went back to Twitter probably about a couple of weeks ago to turn the notification back on to that. It's because I can get ready for that. But I still go back to my Twitterific just because...
Well, stop it. Stop doing that.
Well, I have to because the timeline is just so beautiful on there and it's just very nice laid out.
But Tom, stop it. It's not going to do you any good.
Have you guys gone back to Twitter and tried to use it?
Well, yeah, they broke, as far as I know, they broke when I was able to try some direct messaging. That's broken.
Well, I believe that's fixed now. But
that's the only app I use.
Okay, so Mike, you have always stuck with, so that doesn't, are you one of those that go through the timeline one by one?
Yeah. Isn't that what you're supposed to do? What are you supposed to do?
On mine, it gives you like the first three or four, and then all of a sudden it says, you might like. And I swipe through that, and then it does some other things, and then finally I get to the rest of my timeline.
Those recommendations are kind of annoying, but you can hit the little button and say, don't show me that, and it'll disappear, and it won't show up for, I don't know, the timeline. Every, it seems maybe every couple of weeks I have to do that again. But.
So the long and the short of it, then, does that mean that these guys are just going to hang on, and I'm thinking, what for, and not to be a devil's advocate, but does that mean like Twitterific and Tween and some of these other things are just going to go away, or what are they going to do? What? I mean, can you imagine going onto your computer and using Twitter?
No, that would be a disaster for the visually impaired people. If we had to go back to Twitter on our Mac or PC, that would totally obliterate me off the map. Honestly, it's just too difficult.
Right. This is, to me, it's kind of like the Skype thing on PC going on right now. If you're going to make changes like this that affect everybody, make sure your stuff works.
Well,
make sure what you're forcing anybody to do is functional and works well. Don't
like garbage. True, but like Skype, you know, it always seems that we get hit. It seems like the visual impaired, the non-sighted people are fine. They can just go to the new Skype. They can go to the Twitter. Yep. But for us, I don't know. That's a great question, Randy. I really would be curious as well to know that as well. What does that mean for on the iOS platform in terms of Twitterific, Tweetlist, and all those guys? I mean, how are they going to make any money other than, I guess they can go back to what they used to. They used to charge X number of dollars for a Twitter app that
was accessible.
Paid for it.
Yeah.
I'll bet you're going to see some disappear.
Oh, yeah.
Some of those apps are going to go away.
That'll be interesting.
Like they've already taken it away from the Apple Watch.
Yes. So they took that off the Apple Watch. The Twitterific wasn't that great for the Apple Watch to begin with because it only displayed any mentions and direct messages and things like that. So you really couldn't follow a timeline on there, and neither could you do with any other Twitter apps. And so, which brings up this new app for the month, which I do chirp, love chirp, if you have chirp. An Apple Watch. Chirp, chirp. Chirp, chirp, chirp for Twitter. If you're an Apple Watch user, you need to check Chirp out. It is a free app to download. If you want to make a Chirp Pro, it's a one-time donation. There's different denominations. I think $1.99 is the
minimum.
First
yep.
Minimum.
Yeah, then they go up to two and then three if you want. And I don't think you get any benefits. It's just to help the 16-year-old individual keep developing, which is a great idea. Again, the devil's advocate, do I get any more with the Pro than I do with
yes, you do.
What do I get?
All right, so we first, as you just said, Will Bishop is this fantastic kid out of Australia, I believe, and he's a young gentleman of 16 years old that developed this, and I guess a couple of people reached out to him to say, hey, this is great, could you make this more accessible? And he did it without flinching an eye and made this more accessible. What you get with the Pro, that's a great question. So if you don't get the Pro, you're unable to do a lot of the functionality like retreat, like in those sort of things. You're able to read your timeline and things like that, but I believe the functionality that you can do with it, you cannot do.
And you can't compose a new message, I'll bet, because I looked everywhere and couldn't do it.
Mm-hmm. Now, with the Pro for $1.99 minimum, and there is a tip jar if you like to tip them as you go each month or whatever you want to give them. This is a full-blown Twitter. I mean, right on the watch. I'm able to see my timeline. My most favorite is the list. If you're not familiar with the Twitter list, you should. It helps you kind of
streamline.
I don't know, kind of. Yeah, it just kind of streamline what you want to see. So I use that quite a bit, and this has been a fantastic little thing. I really like it. Now, you can still use Twitter for your Apple Watch. You won't be able to see the timeline and stuff like that. So if you're into Twitter heavily and you don't want to pull out your phone and you want to just try this out, give it a whirl. I really enjoyed this app a lot, and it's well done. And for those that have not heard, there is a podcast on this gentleman, they did an interview with Will Bishop over at Blind Abilities, and it was a fantastic interview. I'm really glad they were able to do that. Mm-hmm. Wasn't it? It was fascinating how the kid was able to pull off something. And not only that, but I couldn't believe that this is the only Twitter app that I could find that was this robust for the watch. That was a big thing.
It was the first app that I saw that worked totally independently from the iPhone. And I thought, man, why don't other people do this? This is wonderful.
Exactly. And I thought I just downloaded it, tried it, and I've just fell in love with it. I didn't think I would use it as much because it was on my watch. I mean, I was thinking, well, I'll just bring up Twitter or Twitterific on my phone to do the same thing. But I don't know. There's just certain things. I really use my watch more than I use my phone on certain things. Reading the news and stuff like that, I'll read off my phone. But when it comes to Twitter, I usually just go flick, 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 see what's going on, and then I just...
So am I right on this? So if I upgrade, or if one upgrades to a pro model for $199 or whatever, then you can compose a tweet? Mm-hmm. Is that right? Because I can't the way it's going now, I don't think. I haven't been able to find out.
Now, I don't know exactly, but I do know you can like, you can retweet, and you can, I could have sworn you can respond, and you can direct message. I'm pretty sure of that because that's what I've seen. Compose, that's a good question, but that's something definitely I will have to check out.
I wonder if the reason you don't see more is because, for the most part, like if you're just purely looking at numbers, most people can see, and maybe looking at Twitter on that tiny watch screen is just not really worth it. So nobody's really putting...
That's why they're making a bigger watch, probably.
Yeah, they just need one like size your forearm. Just strap an iPhone.
Well, I was going to say, that new watch is going to be called an iPhone.
Just curve it a little bit so it kind of fits naturally on your forearm. Good to go. Like Predator. He's got that thing.
Well, you make a good point now that you made a really good point. That would make sense. I mean, obviously, sighted people would not have any use for it because it's so freaking small.
It'd be hard to read it.
Exactly. But for us, we just use VoiceOver and it's just like tick, 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 tick.
Yeah, it's a great fit for if you don't need to look at the screen. Makes sense. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It does. But I guess he's made a lot of headway in mainstream. He got a lot of media attention out there. So I'm really excited for the young man, and I hope he succeeds, and I hope he has a gold mine here for him.
And he said it isn't going to make that much of a difference for his app once the change comes over because it'll be slower.
Yeah, that's what he stated. I remember him saying this. It's not going to make any difference anyway because it doesn't do the refreshing anyway. You still have to do a refresh manually on your watch. But
that's just a pull down, isn't it?
And that makes sense. Yeah. It's a pull down. Yeah. Exactly. So it's just refresh. And then I don't know. Yeah, I think you have to do it manually. I'm not sure if there's an auto refresh, and maybe that is, or he's thinking about it. I wouldn't think so because the watch is pretty slow and it has to pull out information if you're not using LTE.
Mm-hmm. And I am. I'm using LTE.
Exactly. Now, there has been some kind of interesting AI twist this month in a couple of new apps. Not new apps, I should say existing apps. They exist, but they planted some new AI interface in it. And I thought I'd make everybody aware of some of these new features. Scene AI just did an update where you can now browse your photos off your photos, and be able to describe what's in that photo. I'll describe the object or person or text if you have a library full of photos of people and friends. Obviously, as I've always had before in my podcast when I did the CNI, it's just one thing is just not informative to me. I'm glad that they give you the ability to grab your photos, but it's just going to tell me there's four people smiling with outdoors. And to me, I don't get anything out of that. Do you guys get much out of those?
That's what Facebook does too. I'm like, I don't, this doesn't help me.
Exactly. But nonetheless,
text, that might help it being able to read text. Cause I still like memes and stuff on Facebook. It just says image text. I'm like, okay, sweet. Thanks for nothing. So if it maybe that part would be helpful, but no, just knowing there's people there, that's a picture.
Yeah, I have seen people where they'll like take a picture of their kids diplomas or something that has text on it, it would have been cool to see, oh, it's reading this and that's what the picture is of. But I hope one time they'll be able to do facial recognition of telling me this is who, this is this, this is that. That would be more useful to me than just saying four person is sunshine. But yeah, regardless of that, the AI is just getting better. I think that seeing AI is making things better. But the big thing of this month, I found of interest, this is more out of interest than probably going to be practical to use, but Amazon app now allows you to do something that's really cool. They implemented an AI in there. If you have any kind of screws, nuts, bolts, or fasteners, or washers that you want to buy, and you don't know what size that is or what use it is or anything like that, you just put a white piece of paper down, and you get a penny out, and you put the penny on the paper, and you put this screw next to it, and you take a picture with it, and it's supposed to identify what screw size that is, and if you want to buy more of the screw size. I thought that was really, really cool.
I didn't hear about that.
I think it's awesome. Mm.
Isn't that cool? I thought, oh my gosh, how many times have I been? I said, honey, I need another one of these screws. I mean, we don't know. We have to go to the hardware store. We have to get an employee come by and say, oh, that's a metal screw, or that's a wood screw, or whatever have not.
Yeah, I hate having to go there with like the one in my hand that I need, bring it there, and just like feel around in all their buckets and boxes and try to figure out the exact one that I need.
Exactly. I mean, and
it takes forever.
I mean, it's pretty cool that it can identify nuts and bolts and washers too. But it does take a lot of practice, I've heard, and it isn't as easy as you think it is, but I imagine over time that it can only do better and better, you know?
Yeah. Isn't it going to be fun when none of us have to leave our homes anymore, like for anything?
Well, that'd be cool if I could just take a picture. I want this. If somebody has something you want, like, you know, you got a friend to go, oh, I really want one of those. You just take a picture of it and then just order it for you.
And then it shows up via drone within an hour. It's going to be awesome.
Okay. So now with that out of the way and the one last Apple Viz news out there, we did a Apple Viz interview with Dave Nason on The Extra with the people, the makers of Hubital and Dice World. If you guys have not given that a listen, you should give that a listen. It's an interesting listen. Especially if you guys like to play with Hubital, why some of the games are played the way it is. And we talk about the various operating system and some really cool news that they are in the works of making Dice World in a limited format to work with the Amazon Echo. So if you guys are Dice World fans and you want to use your Echo to play, to finish a hand that you forgot, you'll be able to do that in the future. Isn't that cool?
Interesting.
Uh-huh. I thought that was really fascinating. That's kind of fun. Uh-huh.
I'd rather step on a hot nail. Sorry, but as I stated before, I'm just not a game player, and I think it's great that there's that option. I just really do, but oh boy, I just am not. For some reason, my brain doesn't function. And I'm gonna tell you guys why. My brain doesn't function. I have problems. Everybody knows that. Putting puzzles together, and it's like my brain doesn't work like that. I don't understand. I just don't get dice. I just don't get it. That's probably why I'm so bad at the crap tables. You know, they go, oh, here he is. Yeah. Already get his money.
All you need is a seven. Yeah. Just get a seven. I don't understand.
So do you play any kind of computer games or anything like that?
Nope.
Nope. So you don't play any games at all? Games?
I don't.
Oh my God. Okay. Well, I can get that. Some people don't play games.
I just all don't right. get them. And, but like I've heard with a lot of, I might like a virtual game of some kind, but if anything's laid out on a grid or I've got to move so many spaces this way or that way, it's like, okay, no, thank you. Just don't get it.
I'm very picky about the types of games like that I play. But I'll give them a shot. I'll give anything a shot at least once, but
Well, you know, now that I can get that. Now, there may be certain games we like. Now, there's a lot of people that just strictly like audio games. I get that. And there's people that strictly just like card games or RPG games.
Oh, well, I do card games. I do that. And I do, because I work with students with, you know, that like to play cards and stuff. And I like that. I did play.
Oh, well, now you talk out. I thought you were going to be like a real dud. He's like, he doesn't want to play the game.
I hate fun.
I don't hate. Yeah, I hate fun, you guys. Yeah. No, I also liked the games that were, you know, the first audio games that came out, where you had to, you know, move around the room and stuff. I thought those things were awesome. So I guess I don't dislike games, but I don't like, you know, the and I think virtual games would be fun once they start perfecting them. Because I'd like to walk into a pit of monsters or something, but you get what I mean. I just don't do the grid types and the.
Yeah, I understand it because I'm that way with word games. Me and letters, I know. We just don't.
Yeah,
and like the layouts are never like they're kind of weird.
Those are hard games. They're hard. You have to have a lot of time, a lot of patience for those kind of games.
So yeah,
I'm kind of like with you both. If I don't have a whole lot of time, to just be. Messing around with games, so but Dice World is easy enough. I can just roll.
I do like that.
And you just go fast.
Yachty's you know, where it's at.
You know, in Hubito, I play the poker games. I mean, it's a no-brainer. If I'm sitting in a doctor's office, I can just go, beep, 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 beep. You know, it's a quick thing. It's not like I'm going to mess up anything if I had to get up and go to and interrupt the game or anything like that. There's certain things I like to time waste, but we all have different things to time waste on.
No kidding. Like this, for instance.
Yeah, listen to the podcast, right? Oh, you guys. All right, well, we got two tips. I always do it every month. I wanted to give you guys now because 11.4 Part 1 came out, and we were talking about the USB accessory restriction. You're probably asking yourself, is it on, or is it something I need to turn on? Well, it's an easy thing for you to do, so this is the first tip. You just go under your Apple settings. And you go down to your, depend on the device. If you have a Touch ID, it'll say Touch ID and passcode. If you have the iPhone 10 or device that uses the Face ID in the future, you just go to the Face ID and passcode. Put your passcode in there. And you're going to have to swipe all the way down until you get to the USB accessory. And that should be turned off. If it's not turned off, double tap and turn that off. It is very confusing when you read it. You would think, I would say I want this turned on, but it's the opposite. You'll know what I mean when you read it. It's really confusing, but you want to have this off. If you allow this to have it on, that means that you will never have to enter your Touch ID or Face ID or passcode to use an accessory. If you turn it off, that disables the accessories being able to plug in. Other than your charge, you can still use your charge, so when iOS 12 comes in, you don't have to worry about that. You just put your charge cord in and it won't ask for a passcode. But if you plug anything else into that Lightning port, it will ask for a passcode. Okay? So I thought that might be of interest, especially once it starts rolling out. You guys plug it in, can't figure out, I don't like it. This is where you come to turn that off. So with that, it comes with my next one. Now, I don't know about you guys, but I have an iPad. And I had it set up for FaceTime and messages. And this also will apply for people that are leaving the iPhone platform. God forbid you should do that. But I have seen so many articles where people had, when they went to the Android, and people couldn't text to them because they were still locked into that iMessage. And I don't know why that was and how to solve that problem. A lot of people couldn't figure out how to get that off it. But one thing you can do for sure is that anytime you don't want to get FaceTime anymore, so I only want to get FaceTime on my iPhone, for example, or whatever I have not, I didn't know you can actually turn those off. I figured that was just a built-in feature. But lo and behold, if you go under Apple Settings and you go under Message, and then you go down to Send Receive and double tap that, and then double tap your name, and then you have the option to sign out. So when you sign out, you're only signing out for the iMessage and FaceTime. So that will allow you to turn off association with your phone number or your email address to FaceTime and iMessage. So that is kind of a weird little niche. I don't think a lot of people will use, but I have seen where I have come situation where I needed to do that for mm-hmm. friends. So I thought I introduced that.
I'll never use it because I'm waiting to FaceTime with the 32 participants that's coming up. Sorry, but
yes, that is true. But I have you guys heard about that? Where I think two or three times I've come across friends where they've gone back to Android. They're not visually impaired, but they're sighted. And they could not get text for the life of them because the iPhone was what they had before. Have you guys heard that?
I haven't heard about that.
And I've always heard people say, you know, if you're about to switch phones or switch a different platform, always sign out of everything. A message, your Apple ID, everything off your phone. And that's even good practice when you get a new phone. Even if you get a new iPhone, I've always told people, not only do you need a backup to cloud, of course, but also sign out of everything. Because, you know, there was a real interesting article yesterday I was reading I'd never even thought about, but this teenage girl in Canada, this poor gal, she broke her screen, and the screen was so badly broken that she couldn't see the screen anymore. So it was an old phone, so she donated to a worthy cause, and apparently somebody bought that phone and got the screen fixed, and lo and behold, all of her stuff was still there. So I always tell people, yeah, isn't that terrible? Oops. I would definitely put that in a DFU mode if you figure out how to do that. If you're in that situation where you can't see the screen, that'd be something to think about. But anyway, I'm getting off topic there, but it's just something I thought people would use easily.
I've got one more tip when it's a good time.
Go for it.
Okay, so it's an easy one too. Just go to your settings. This is for the iPhone. Go to settings, general, keyboard, and then it'll show you the number of keyboards you have installed. Click on that one. Find an emoji. Flick up. It says delete. Double tap.
Wow.
It's so great. Wow. It's been the best thing in my life recently.
It's so nice.
So now I just have flick type and the regular keyboard. I don't have to deal with the stupid emojis anymore. I love it.
Well, I'm going to have to send you messages and state everything verbally then.
Yeah, I don't know what happens if people send me emojis now.
You just won't see them. That's what I'll bet.
Great. I'm so happy.
I don't know. That's a good question. Will he be able to see it or not?
I don't know.
Don't care. I'm so glad.
So you just dumped it, huh?
Yeah, I deleted it, and I immediately went back to my messages, and it was still there. I was like, oh, how dare they force me to do this? And I just checked a couple minutes ago, and it's gone now. It's been awesome.
So I wonder if you brought it back, if it would bring them all back, including your reading of them. Like, I'm gonna do it, though, Tom. As soon as we're done, I'm going to text him and say, like, small finger extended. I didn't say which one, but.
You're going to send him a pile of poo?
Verbally. Oh, I'm going to auto message him now. Oh, okay. Yeah.
No, it's so nice because I've been using FlickType, and when I switch back to regular keyboard, it would always go right to the emojis. And I'm like, I hate you emojis. Stop.
FlickType does emojis.
No, but like you can swipe up and just hold your finger and it'll change it. So like if I'm in Safari, go to the URL thing, I'm trying to type in a website or something like that, I'd flip up to get rid of the flip type keyboard to go back to the original one because it has all the punctuation and stuff.
But you're going to miss out all the new emojis that's coming out. I'm iOS 12.
I'm good. Great. There's more than I can even pay attention to already. I'm protesting emojis,
between me and you and with games and emojis, this podcast just doesn't mean anything to us then, does it, Mike?
Just goes straight to the pile of poop. Well, that was an interesting tip. Thank you for letting us how to remove a keyboard.
Does it
come default or do you have to put it?
Yes. No, it's there.
Back then, I had to turn it on. Now it's by default. Okay.
No, they're trying to force them down our mouth.
Well, guys, that is going to do for the month of July. And next month, August is coming upon us, and we're going to be able to hear the fiscal report. And I think we're going to start hearing a lot more iPhones leaks, as in starting to finalize and meld, as we always do. We seem to always hear these rumors, mails, and I've already heard a few. And some people are not going to like some of that, and that includes the SE. I don't know if they're going to really come out with the new SE, and I think that's going to disappoint a lot of people. I hope that's not true, but I think a lot of people do like the small form factor, and I get that. It doesn't look like that's going to be coming out, and lots of new colors for the smaller iPhone and all sorts of stuff. So next month, we should have more information about that, what we can expect to hear in September? So September, mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, a new iPhone is upon us.
Pretty soon.
I'm kind of excited. I'm kind of excited to see what's going to happen. And if I decide to move up or not, that'll be something I'll have to think about as it comes out. Along with Mike Malarcy, Randy Rusnak, and myself, Thomas Donville, also known as Nanomouse, it was a pleasure having you guys on to listen. Until next month. Goodbye.
This podcast has been brought to you by the community of Apple Vis. For the latest in resources and tips and tricks to help you get the best experience from your Apple device, visit us online at www.applevis.com.